Hi, I'm Kim.
I'm Tora.
And this is our podcast, Parenting Young Adults with Kim and Tora. Thank you so much for joining us today. Today we have a special guest who will be joining us shortly. But before he does, we wanted to circle back and hit a couple of topics. One topic I wanted to hit is that I've had an opportunity to reconsider, and I think, Tora, you may be spot on about us shutting everything down and everybody just having to make the ultimate sacrifice. I know that back in the boycott days, like in Alabama, we were more closely knit. We hadn't really adopted all of these European ways. So there were nets built in. You could go over to somebody's house and get a meal or whatever. But still, I just think you might be right on track with that. And then
you also are right. Our families are going to suffer, but the ultimate suffer is losing the life of your baby due to everything that's going on. Everything.
I agree. I mean, I think it's definitely something we need to look at moving forward. And then there's one thing that you wanted to circle back and talk about as well.
Oh, yes. I had mentioned that Ahmaud Arbery, we were talking about discipline, and I was saying that the father of the young man who helped murder Ahmaud Arbery, our king, clearly that family didn't believe in spankings or whippings, because this he's not a little boy, he was a man, you know, lied with his father and did this crime, this horrific crime. And I just thought, if you were brought up with pain, and not pain, but discipline, you know, not whoopings or beatings, but just you knew the consequences of a lie, or you knew the consequences, you wouldn't want to go to jail, you wouldn't implement your father in a murder, you wouldn't have went down that. And I just felt like he must was roamed free. He had to have a free life for him to do that. I know what it feels like to be punished. I know what it feels like to get in trouble. So I would have never went in the house and lied to my mother or got my mother involved in something that could end her up in jail in her late years. Like, his father is this old man set in his old ways. Now he's gonna probably rot in prison all because of his fool brat son who should have been disciplined early on. So I just wanted to clear that up, because someone didn't understand in the last podcast video we did, what did I meant by, you know, Ahmaud Arbery and then spankings and whippings at the same time. I was referring it to his murderers, not him.
And I will co-sign that, you know, as we were discussing, they have a way of letting their children roam free. And I believe in discipline, and I believe in having manners. I just have a different way of achieving it. Right. But one way or another, whether you're talking, whether you're spanking, whether you're punishing, you need to teach your children discipline, because if you don't, this world will. And that's what we're seeing.
And that's what ultimately.
We're seeing.
Absolutely. There has to be consequences to your actions. There had to be more red flags that little boy threw up throughout his whole life. Mm-hmm. For this to be the ultimate, you know, end all be all. I'm sorry, I just can't believe that, you know.
And just imagine the audacity and the arrogance of thinking that you have the right, even like with that military guy, for them even thinking that they have the right to control who can walk or jog up and down the streets. I mean, this particular episode is not about race, so I'm not going to try to go down that road.
No, we were just clearing the air for some mishaps for, you know, our past podcast, because it's always good to let someone know what we were thinking. And like you said, we reserve the right to change our mind or elaborate on something we've said. So there it is.
And especially if people don't understand, and I didn't see the comment, but I'm glad that people are commenting and paying attention and letting us know what they think. So I think that's wonderful. Hi, Jamel.
Hey.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine. How are you today?
I'm pretty good. Let's see if we can get this light right. Aim this camera right, just right.
Okay. This is Jamel Wade. Jamel, this is my co-host, Tora Williams. I'm sorry, I almost said your maiden name. Tora Williams.
Either one is good.
All right, Tora, how you doing?
I'm good, and you? I'm so glad we have
you. Good.
So Jamel, typically we allow our guests to introduce themselves. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure, I'm Jamel Wade, and you know, that's about the size of that. I'm from New York, but I'm living here in the DMV, and I'm a single parent. All my kids are grown and gone, but the experience was priceless.
Okay,
you say you're from New York. What part?
Brooklyn, Fort Greene.
Okay. All right.
Jamel is also the co-owner of a streaming television channel called Seven on Demand, which is on Roku channel. Oh, yeah, he's got a shirt on.
I saw that.
Yeah. Seven on Demand.
All right.
You got to represent.
Perfect. And so, you know, we always have at least one topic to start, and then we go where the conversation takes us. So I wanted to ask you what it's like as a male raising Black boys in America, what your experience has been, and any direction you want to take that.
Well, it's scary. One of the things that I did, and that's how I wound up in the DMV, was my kids were being raised in New York, and my son was having some real bad, my older son was having some real bad problems with, like, you know, just the local boys or whatever, you know, and he was 12 or 13. And I was like, you know, I had to make a decision. I really had to say, like, okay, you know, I know that I was built Brooklyn tough to be able to handle coming up like that. And it was rough for me, you know what I mean? But I wanted a better life for them. So I wound up moving out here to this area and giving them some opportunities that I didn't have. And I'm glad I did, because now they're doing great.
Okay, so that brings me to, we had two other males on, and one other male lived in D.C., went to school in D.C. Now, my son, he left home at 18 to go to college in D.C., but he has a different take on D.C. He saw D.C. as great if you're there to go to college and do what you're supposed to do, but he also knew that it was, you know, full of crime there. So when you said they did well in D.C. versus New York, you're saying that New York was high crime, of course, right? And getting into a lot of things to where they could have gotten to a lot of things. Was it less for you because New York is such high crime? Because for me, being from Maryland, DC is more, you know, in that crime era. And then New York is extreme. And then right. You go anywhere else like Chicago and all those, and we can get even worse as far as crime goes. So my thing is this, your eyes saw that DC was better raising kids?
No.
Okay.
No. So let's clarify, okay? When we moved from New York, mm-hmm. we didn't move to D.C.
Oh.
We moved to Columbia, Maryland.
Oh, well,
there you go.
Okay, right. So here's the thing, right? So I also left New York to come to college here. And
to the same college, I'm sorry, to the same college her son went to, and your experience was similar because he didn't stay there the whole time either. I thought right. that was really interesting.
Yep. Right. So I'd stayed about 3.5 years at Howard in a 5-year program. No, it was a 5-year program. So I was nowhere near close to finishing, wind up having another child, and wind up leaving, going back, just getting a job on Wall Street, going back to New York. And it is what it is. So mm-hmm. while I was at Howard, a girlfriend of mine, she lived in Columbia. And when she took me out to where she lived at, you know, I was just amazed. I was fascinated. I was like, wow, here goes a forest, and then you turn a corner and you're in a city. And I was like, oh man, that's great. And then I had just said it lightly that when I retire, I'm going to move there because I like that kind of atmosphere. Yeah. So I was coming to the end of a job in New York that I just couldn't take anymore. You know, I just became a single parent. You know, I was a private investigator in New York, and it was just overwhelming, just way too much stress, too much hustle, bustle, too much everything, mm-hmm. you know, and the laws were changing. So I couldn't do the kind of work that I was doing before. And it was just a lot. So I just became a single parent, and I was like, okay, either I can stay here and tough it out, or I could try to go somewhere where I could provide some opportunity. And then I was like, okay, well, where do I want to go? Right. Mm-hmm. And bam, just like that, Columbia, Maryland. Mm-hmm. And I lived in Columbia, Maryland until my kids were grown and gone. Oh. And then after I became an empty nester, that's when I left in Windsor.
That makes
Windsor,
sense.
Went to Windsor Mill. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You still.
Yeah. But So that's what I mean when I say low crime, because, you know, I went to Howard, right? Oh, Howard University. Yeah. So I know DC is full of crime, you know, so. But it's all good.
Her son went, but I guess I misspoke because Steve went for 1 year. Jamel went for 3.5.
No, Steve went for three.
Steve went to Howard for 3 years.
Oh, yeah. He went to Howard for 3 long years. He went a 5-year theater program. The theater program for 5 years. Yep.
Oh, I thought
I was in a 5-year physics program.
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
And I want to say he might have went 4, and then he went over to UDC for like a year and a half and finally finished.
So I did 3 and then went to UDC, but left in the middle of that first semester at UDC.
Oh, see, now he had a better experience. He said everybody there was, you know, a little bit more focused where he wanted to be. So, yeah.
Well, I loved it, but that was my second child.
Oh, okay.
So I had a child before I went to college. And then while I was in college, she got pregnant again. So then it was like, okay, well, somebody got to make the donuts. So
when you say you are a single dad, are you saying single dad meaning you had the kids live only with you, or you're a single dad because she's there and you're here and y'all parent together, but you're a single dad when you have your children?
Well, at some point, mm-hmm. I have 5 children.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. 2 daughters and 3 sons. Okay. At some point, the 3 sons mm-hmm. came to live with me full time.
Okay, got you.
Their ages at that time was, the first son came to live with me when he was 11.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. The next son came to live with me when he's a little older. He was 16 or 15.
Not much
15.
Older.
15. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the youngest one was 9.
Oh, okay.
So there is a point where you had all 3 of them, all 3 of your sons, and you're raising your 3 boys. And can you tell us?
And even when they went to school in New York, I always had them all summers. And that's why, you know, the summers was like, dad's place is the place to go. And then when they got the opportunity to make a decision, they like, yeah, we want to go with dad. You know what I mean? So it just is what it is. I ain't going to say no.
Okay. And so what was that like, raising 3 sons as a full-time dad on your own?
It was great, man. You know what I mean? I had my team with me. I was rolling. I was loving it. You know what I mean? I really wasn't worried too much about the oldest one and the youngest one. But the one in the middle, you know, he was the one who kind of found his way into those elements. You know what I mean? And you know, it was real scary for a minute, man. You know, I remember getting calls at like 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, from the police talking about like, you know, come and get him. You know what I mean? Are we going to keep him? You know, stuff like that. And he's only like, you know, 15 years old, you know, so I get up and go get him, you know. So the other one, the youngest one, you know, he was a real good dude. You know, I never had any problems with him. The oldest one, I never had any problems with him. It was the middle one who, like, you know, gave me a little run for my money. But, you know, I look back over, like, you know, the calamity that I caused for my parents, and that was nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, you get it back.
Some of the techniques you use to navigate him out of that. I'm assuming you said he's fine now, everything's fine.
Let me tell you. When I first got them, they were young and I had no clue on what parenting was. I was trying to be their friend. You know, I had one son who needed a mommy. He needed cuddling. I had another, that was the youngest one. Then I had another one, the next one. He needed a disciplinarian, mm-hmm. right? And then I had another one, right? He needed a mentor, mm-hmm. right? So the one who needed the hugs and kisses was like, yo, you spend all your time with the one you discipline in, because I had to, because I was always going to school and all that other stuff. You know what I mean? So he's like, okay, you don't give me enough attention, you know, because you're giving all your attention to the middle son. The middle son, right?
He was like,
you don't care about me because you loving up on the little one. You know what I mean?
Did he actually say that to you? Like, look, I need you to
get you. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And not in those words, but, you know, that's what it meant. Right.
He made you aware.
Right. So I'm like, oh, man, here we go. You know, but you got to do what you got to do. And then the older one, you know what I mean? He was 1 foot in, 1 foot out, wanting to be back in New York. Mm. So it was like, oh my goodness, man.
This
so I had a hard
like
time.
A
so this is how I handled it. Right. I talked to a girlfriend of mine mm-hmm. who had kids about the same age. Mm-hmm. And she is the one who really taught me how to do this. She would come and get my kids and take them to Chuck E. Cheese and roller skating at the ice skating ring and all that other kind of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But never once did she just come and get them. She would always be and come and get all of us. So that meant I had to go too.
Oh,
which
yeah.
showed me, I wanted her to like take them, go ahead, take them.
You yeah, just
take
give them. You nah, a break. Nah.
She wasn't with all of that, you know what I mean? And then somebody turned me on to this book called Pearls of Wisdom, right? It's a book, a daily meditation book on parenting. You know what I mean? And I'm an avid reader. So like, you know, I read everything. You know, when they gave me the book, I sat down and read the whole book, cover to cover, you know what I mean? I ain't wait for like, you know, it was like maybe February when I was ready
to say, you're not supposed to read the whole thing. I have that book. You're supposed to read it.
I ain't wait till December, man. I'm like, read the whole thing right now because I have a knack for retaining knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was like, let me just read it. You know what I mean? And it taught me a lot of different things. It taught me, you know, nurturing skills and disciplinary skills. You know what I mean? So that I'm not so disciplinary that I'm causing harm. I'm not so nurturing that I'm causing harm. You got to find a perfect balance. You know what I mean? And it's not easy, but it is doable. You know what I mean? So that's how I learned, man. It was other people who had children mm-hmm. about those ages mm-hmm. that taught me.
So given that each of your three sons needed something different from you, did mm-hmm. you then continue to deal with each of them, giving each of them something separate, or did you try to group it all together and give everybody everything?
Well, at the end of the day, they were my crew. Mm-hmm. So we did a lot of things together. But of course, like, you know, the age ranges are such that, you know, they didn't want to be in each other's company all the time. So a lot of times I would have to, like, you know, sacrifice and like leave somebody home, you know what I mean? Or, you know, leave somebody with somebody else and go do stuff with the other ones. So I guess I did a combination of both, you know, taking my time to be with each one individually, but also doing some stuff together. I'm an avid outdoorsman. So I love the outdoors. So I hike, I camp, I pitch tents, all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
So I would take them, you know what I mean? And I would teach them survival skills, you know? And that just reminds me of, like, you know, the thing that I did with my grandchildren now. And that was, I would play this little game. I called it treasure hunt. I would go get these coins, right? These little dollar, little gold dollar coins with a girl on it, right? And I would hide them in different places. And then I would make up all these clues that they had to like go through in order to be able to find these coins. So they have to do math problems. They have to spell words. They have to look up words in the dictionary. They have to look up words in the thesaurus. They have to do puzzles, brain teasers. In other words, what I'm trying to do is teach critical thinking, right? So what I did with my grandchildren was something that I didn't do in that form with my children, but that's where I learned it from. I learned it from being out in the woods with my kids and giving them tasks to do. Like, you know, they would have to build me a bird trap. You know, they would have to, you know, make a fishing line. They would have to just do things, you know? And I wouldn't tell them how to do it, but I would give them hints and stuff like that. So in that sense, that gave us a kind of camaraderie, because when you're apart from the world, you know, and there's no cell phones and there's no internet, there's no video games, and, you know, you're out there, you know, and you've got these tasks and stuff to perform and you need each other in order to be able to do it, you know, that was real encouraging to them. Wow. And they're still all tight today.
I have this thing, and I don't want anybody to think I have this fetish with spankings, but I believe that if someone gets a spank, a male, I think he should get it from his dad. I don't believe dad should spank girls. That's just my belief. But my son never received a spanking from his dad at all. All of them came from me. So I want to know, did you spank your boys, if you're comfortable with talking about that? And if you did, what was it, you know, what could they do to make you give them a spanking? And if you didn't, why didn't you?
Oh, hell yeah. See, because I believe in that, you know, spare the rod and spoil the child. In fact, I had one kid.
You're right there. You're our best new friend now.
I had one kid, the middle one, who was giving me all the problems, mm-hmm. right? And I beat him, and his older sister, because my daughter is the oldest, mm-hmm. she called the police, and I gladly went to court. I'm like, yo, let's go. And I told the judge to his face, right, that if I don't beat him, you're going to beat him when he's knocking your wife over the head and robbing you for your car.
Now let's take this quick moment to recognize our sponsors. Now back to the current episode.
What did the judge say?
He said, well, you're probably right, but you can't go around doing that, and you can't have the police being called to the scene and all that other kind of stuff. So I'm going to give you 5 days of community service.
So back in our day, of course, you know, we were told, I don't know if you were told this, but I was told if you call the police, you're going to get even a worse whooping. So does anybody get a worse whooping for calling the police?
Well, that was his daughter called the police.
You know why?
Yeah.
Because they recognize that I don't care.
Okay.
So they're not going to push the limits anymore. So my older son, me and him got into it. He got knocked out, right? Mm-hmm. Then my next younger son, we got into it. He got knocked out. Mm-hmm. My youngest son saw what happened to his brothers, and he was like, I'm not messing with that.
Yeah. But, you know, I think that sometimes that's something that fathers and their sons go through. There's a time that I was dating an attorney, and one time he came back, his glasses all lopsided. I was like, what is going on with you? Because he went to talk to his son who was having some issues. He was like, I had to knock that young dude out. And so knocked his son out. And after that, it was a little more smooth. But I want to say the one thing about the court thing. Now, I'm not into heavy spankings, but my kids did get some. And, you know, I would tell them, if you're ever going to call the police on me, you better be prepared to go live with the police. Because if I can't whip you, you can't stay here. Nobody ever called anybody because they ever think I'm crazy anyway. I'm sure they thought
my sons never would have. It was my older daughter who was 18 at the time. You know what I mean? So she thinks she's a woman and she's grown and she never got a beaten by me. You know what I mean? Except for like, you know, a little pluck or whatever when she was a little girl. You know what I mean? So, but, you know, that was just her thing. You know, she was like, you know, oh, I'm going to get you in so much trouble. I'm like, okay, let's go.
Yeah, see, that was our growing up. We couldn't call the police at all. And if they ever had taken our family or my mother and father out, when they came back, we might as well have packed our bags because it wouldn't have been a pretty sight. So,
I do think the police and the, I mean, unless you're really abusing your kids, which would be obvious from scars or whatever on their bodies,
right.
I think they need to stay out of it because you're exactly right. Yeah, on the one hand, you're telling us we can't whip them. On the other hand, then they're subject to all kind of abuse by the system. So it is our right and responsibility to raise our children to, you know, be law-abiding citizens or whatever it is our goals are.
So let's take a look at the social condition. All right. Back when, you know, you could beat your kids, you know what I mean? There were no problems. You know what I mean? We would all go outside and play. You know what I mean? Yeah, we all got into kids stuff. We got into mischief, right? But we all had respect for adults. We all had respect for our parents. You know, we all had a certain kind of camaraderie, fear or respect for each other, right? And all that is gone now. You know what I mean? Yeah. These kids today, man, they kill indiscriminately. You know, you step on somebody's shoes and they kill you. You know what I mean? And then I ask them, why? You know, why do you pull out guns, you know what I mean, for things that are like unimportant? You know what they said? Nah, it ain't just that they can't fight. Yes, right? He said, yo, if I beat him up, he's coming back with a gun, so I might as well get him now.
Okay, well, there's
And that's a level of respect that's going, I mean, just across the board. I literally had a guy, young guys, they were standing just in my way when I was walking. Not only did they spit on the ground as I was walking, but they continued to curse. And I'm thinking to myself, don't I look old enough that you should stop cursing? And why would you spit if you see I'm coming? And he wasn't spitting on me or at me. He was literally had like a cigar. So he was spitting, I'm quite sure, because of the cigar. Because I see a lot of people do that. And I was just thinking to myself, so I said, should I turn around and ask, like, can I ask y'all a question? Back in my days, y'all would have moved out the way, you know, the guys would have moved out the way, let me go, you know, by my way. and you wouldn't have spit, you wouldn't have kept cursing. And you all just, they said they ain't even see me. I was like, what? We didn't even see you. And I was thinking, maybe that's it. They don't even see us anymore. We used to see older people, you know, helping with their groceries. Remember? You used to help them with groceries or ask, did they need help with anything? They don't even see us anymore. We're not adults anymore. They're just we're part of the crew. But you know, not me, you are, but I'm saying there's so many, there's no more Big Mama out there. So we're trying to play the part of these young kids, hanging with these young kids, so they don't see us as adults and respecting us anymore.
But you know, that raises an issue for me that even if it was a younger girl, a younger woman walking through, where's the respect for our women?
I think it doesn't even matter. Like you said, you know, if it wasn't someone who probably had the BBL thing going on, was very, you know, Brazilian butt lifted and looking really, you know, accentuating her assets, I don't think they see anything other than that. I don't. Because I'm thinking, how do you not automatically know, okay, be quiet, don't talk, don't curse, don't do this. The younger guy. So if he raised his sons, did you raise your sons with the respect now that you can see them when they have women around? Do you notice? I noticed my son would never curse or do anything around anybody because he would know I'm still gonna go off, you know? So I know that I've raised him with a level of respect. Do you think you've raised your sons with a level of respect that you were raised with?
Definitely, absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Because, you know, my boys, or my young men, right, are not thug-like.
Okay.
All right? They understand that world, all right, but that's not how they carry it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? They're honorable and respectable.
And that came from you and mom or you?
Nah, that came from us both. You know what I mean? Both. So I just think about, you know, the situation that happened to me when I was younger. I was riding a train in New York and this girl, she was beating the hell out of her kid. I mean, she was beating him like he was a grown man or whatever. And he was only like, you know, 10 or 11 or 12 or whatever. Right. And I said something. So that's why I wanted to see if, like, you know, when a guy was spitting and stuff, did you say something? Because I said something. Mm-hmm. Right. And you know what I mean? Because we got to speak up, man. Mm-hmm. If we don't, then we just got to accept what it is. You know, so just a couple of months ago, right before this COVID thing happened, I was walking to my car, and a little kid, probably, I don't know, 12 years old, 11, what, maybe 13, was walking with his friends, and they got into an argument, and he pulled a gun out on his friends, right? Everybody ducked and went for cover, started running. I was right there, so I wasn't running, right? So I said something to him. You know, that little boy cried. He cried because he didn't want to hurt nobody, right? So I asked him, like, what make you think that that's an okay thing to do? And he's like, yo, I see my brothers doing that. Wow. His older brothers do that. And that's where he gets that from. But he didn't want to hurt nobody.
But anytime you pull out a gun, the risk of hurting somebody is there. So it's good you were there to be able to talk to him about that.
That's the thing that was different between our generation and this generation.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, Big Mama.
Gun, you don't hurt people with guns. You kill people with guns. Yeah. If you want to beat somebody up, you hit them with a bat, punch them with your hand, whatever. All right?
Remember dudes used to fight their friends? Did you fight some of your friends growing up?
Of course. I fought every single one of my friends.
But you used to fight your enemies back in the day and you became friends because you let them live.
It's true.
Yep.
You let them live.
So when you kill them, you can't become their friend.
You can't.
Brings up a couple things. The one thing you were saying, Jamel, about the discipline that was instilled previously, in previous times, the whole neighborhood was involved in that.
Yep.
So if Miss Sarah saw you smoking a cigarette down at the corner, by the time you got your behind home, your parents knew that because Miss Sarah probably said to you, hey boy or hey girl, don't you know you're not supposed to be doing that. And there was more accountability. The second thing is that there were some protests, I want to say in Baltimore, And on TV, they show a Black woman who went down there and got her son and grabbed him and was punching him or whatever. And everybody was saying how...
It was Ferguson. Phenomenal. I remember that. Mm-hmm.
They were saying how... Oh, that was Ferguson, Missouri.
Yeah, that was when they had the march in Ferguson and she jacked him up and she made the news and everything.
I didn't think that was great. Yeah. I thought it was great that she went to get her child. But I did not think it was great that she was punching on him and beating on him like that. But I was in the minority. Everybody thought this is such great parenting, and I beg to differ.
And but when I heard her give her interview, she said she was so afraid of because of what she had already saw that week leading up to it of, you know, this Mike Brown being shot dead in the street. And then, you know, her child being out there protesting and they're not respecting the protesters, nor were some of the protesters respecting law enforcement, but she just didn't want him to end up as a casualty. She was just afraid. So that was her acting out of, have you lost your mind? Who told you to do this? Why would you be here?
But that goes back to the conversation we were having when I said that I think that's a legacy of slavery, that level of brutality, because you can go get your son and grab him by the arm or the shirt or whatever and bring his behind home. All that punching and stuff didn't accomplish anything different than grabbing him and taking him home. The bottom line was to get him home. I just think that sometimes it's just too brutal. There's a difference between a spanking and a beating and a public whatever that was.
Right. And that's why I spoke up with that girl, because if our parents, they would beat the crap out of us, right? But they would never do it in public. Mm-hmm. See, when you do it in public, right, now you're doing more than just discipline, right? What you're doing is you're creating embarrassment for that, for the individual, right? And you're showing off for the crowd. All right. So now you got these other dynamics going on. You know, our parents would drag us in the bathroom, the McDonald's or whatever, beat the hell out of us, right? And that I learned that from them. So that's why I would never do anything like that in like public in front of other people. You know what I mean? Because how often did you hear, wait until you get home?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hell yeah. See what I mean? So, but they don't have the group of parents today don't have that kind of restraint, right? And like I said, you know, it's illegal to beat your kids, right? So that's what's created the condition that we have today. No longer, like you mentioned earlier, no longer does the village raise the child. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Now, you know, Michael Jackson, if the village has anything to do with your child, they get arrested.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, there's a point too. So,
but you know, all of this is by design. All right. All of this is by design.
I think so too.
In order to disenfranchise us even further, because our unity is their biggest enemy.
I agree. Exactly. I totally agree.
Exactly. So Jamel, now you indicated to us that you have sons as well as daughters. What was the difference in being a father to your sons versus to your daughters?
That's a good question. My daughters are beautiful, lovely, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know what I mean? So in my eyes, they can do no wrong. Wow. You know what I mean? They can be forgiven for anything. You know what I mean? So that's why I guess like it wasn't probably wouldn't have been a good idea for me to be able to get them, because they would have probably been wild as hell, you know. But fortunately, they're two mothers and they have different mothers, you know, kept them and instilled motherly stuff in them that I probably couldn't do. You know, there is a such thing as male energy and female energy, you know what I mean? And yeah, no question. You know what I mean? And there are just certain things that I can never know ever. You know what I mean? So when it comes to raising daughters, you know, that's when, you know, a wife is necessary.
Absolutely. And as far as your
mothers to know too about, I'm sorry, that's important for us single mothers to know too about raising our sons. There are just some things we're not going to be able to teach them. We need to know when to step back and be like, you need to talk to your dad or Uncle Joe or cousin somebody, bring somebody in to let them get that. I'm sorry, I cut you off, Tora.
Oh no, I was just gonna say the blessing of you having two different baby mothers, but you like the way both of your daughters turned out. Do you think you're the common factor in that? Three, You have three.
I started very young.
No problem.
Still in high school.
Not at all. No, not even a problem at all. I like that you're honest about it, because all of your kids, are you close to all of your kids, and did you like the way their mothers parent your children?
Varying degrees. Okay. You know what I mean? I'm definitely closer to my sons because, you know, they spent the most time with me. Mm-hmm. My youngest daughter, that's my baby. My oldest daughter, she still has some resentments because I was living a kind of wild life when she was younger, and she remembers.
Okay. So how did the mothers affect that? Like my son, I have a son, his father's no longer with us, but my husband has raised him as his own. But my, I don't even know how to say this. My son's father wasn't really in his life. So he has that little bit of resentment because he's not here anymore. So correct. I want to know how do you help your sons, being as though you were in their life and everything and raised them, how do you help them become the men that they are without a mom in your household?
Okay, like, so let's reverse that, because you know I'm not going to go into the female energy. I'm going to show you what I did with the male energy.
Okay.
And then maybe that can help you with the female energy. Okay. So when my youngest son came to me and was like, I miss my mom, right? Mm-hmm. I gave him a hug and told him, it's okay, I'll be your mommy.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Even though I knew that I could not fulfill that role, you know what I mean?
Right.
He needed some type of comforting at that moment. Hmm. So in reverse, you know what I mean? Okay.
It's hard.
Listen. Women need security and men need comfort, right? This is just a human condition. Right, men seek comfort. That's why we get into relationships with the one we like, so we can get some comfort. Women seek security. So women seek security with some comfort in it. Men seek comfort with some security in it.
Okay.
Okay. And it's the same way when it comes down to, you know, our children. Our children are looking for those two things from us as well. You know, so it's a matter of balancing, like, you know, how much comfort, how much security. If you don't give them any security, they run wild. They run rampant. Mm-hmm. Right. And if you give them too much comfort, they become coddled and can't fight back in the world.
Okay.
So, right. So it's kind of a balance between the two. So when one is missing, you just got to do your best to be able to provide as much of that kind of energy as you can. You know what I mean?
One of the things
that I had suggested to one of my friends who was a single parent. Mm-hmm. And his kid was running wild. He was about 16 years old, right? Mm-hmm. I said, well, why don't you send him to me every Saturday and let me teach him martial arts, right? This guy, right, fell so in love with the martial arts. Mm-hmm. And the reason that he was acting the way he was acting was because he was being bullied at school. Mm-hmm. So once he started learning basically how to control environments, right, whether physically or mentally, right, physically or, you know, by influence, then he stopped getting bullied and his whole life changed. This guy is doing wonderful things now.
So there's something I want to piggyback on when you said you told your son, I'll be your mommy. A lot of Black women get criticized for just that because they say, I am your daddy. I'm your mommy, your daddy, and everything in between.
I did that. And
we hear in the culture that they're being criticized for that. But what they're really doing is just trying to provide what their children need when there's an absent father who won't participate.
Right. Momentarily. You know, as long as you keep it in the moment, then it's fine. When you believe that that's your role, then it's wrong.
Okay.
That's, like for me to believe that mommy is my role, that's wrong. Mm-hmm. I can never be mommy. Mm-hmm. All right. Never. Mm-hmm. All right. But what I can do is I can give you comfort right now, knowing that from the woman you seek comfort, from the man you seek security.
My son is in his 30s and he just had his first kid and he lives on the West Coast and his kid is here on the East Coast. But lately he has become this woe is me kid. Like everything's like, Mom, I just need you to stick up for me. I just need you to, and I'm like, I have always been the ride or die mom for you. And I don't understand where this, and I thought maybe it's because he doesn't, you know, his biological father isn't here. And I'm thinking that he's thinking maybe his parenting skills will come. And I hear that you have these parenting skills. And I'm thinking, is maybe that was, you know, what we're going through right now. So I was kind of like trying to pick you on, you know, on that, because he's just like, I need to learn this, I need to know this. And I'm just like, it's gonna come. You know, there is no blueprint on parenting. It's gonna come. And I was trying to, you know, do the two, like, does he need his dad now? Can I be his dad and fill that void? Because he, you know, he needs a parent right now.
What about Uncle Joe? Uncle Joe has daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Joe could help him through it.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely be leaning on them in the very near future, because it's getting to the point where I think something's up. You know what I mean? I think he's going through like a free fall moment in life, because I can't give him what he needs right now. I don't have a clue. I only know what I'm doing, you know?
Do you remember how scary, I don't know if it was scary for you, but do you remember how scary it was when you had your first child? You didn't know what to do. My mom didn't raise me. She didn't help me with my child. I just still remember that first year. And I was married. My husband helped. He did everything I needed him to do, but it was a blur. That year was a whole blur, because it was so much up to speed and trying to figure it out. And oh my God. So I think some of Steve's issue is just that parenting angst that comes when you have your first child.
So here's the thing, right? I have a dad, right? Okay. But I never had a dad in my home. You know, my dad was always so busy career chasing that, you know, basically the only times I would see him is when I would travel with him. Mm-hmm. You know, I would rarely ever see him in the home at all. And then, you know, by the time I was 11, him and my mother separated. So basically I grew up without a dad. So I really don't have any daddy skills, you know what I mean? Except for the ones that my sons taught me.
Can you say who your dad is, just because I just think it's so great to say? Can you share that with our audience?
Sure, definitely. I am the son of Mr. Adam Wade, the very first Black game show host. You probably don't know the name, but you definitely know the face, because he was in all the sitcoms that we know and love. What's Happening, Sanford and Son, Jeffersons, all that stuff. So,
and Tora shared with me that he was Willona's man on
Good Times. Yeah. He was going to marry Willona on Good Times and stuff like that. So, you know, he was in a lot of movies and a lot of commercials. So, you know, he's definitely a face from the 70s and 80s that you remember, you know, but he spent his whole life, you know, pursuing his career. And really, I didn't really build a real relationship with him until I had kids of my own.
Does that give you a level of, you said you used to go on like trips with him and see what he did for, you know, a living.
Well, that's the thing. Until like, you know, maybe the last 15 or 20 years, you know, all we could talk about was show business, being as I wanted to be in the business and he was in the business, you know, and I remember at times asking him about stuff like, you know, girls and stuff like that, just to see him squirm. Because like, you know, all the relationships that we, you know, all the things that we talked about were about show business.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So we could talk about show business all day and all night. You know what I mean? But when I start asking personal stuff or daddy stuff or other stuff like that, you know what I mean? He becomes uncomfortable, you know? So, I mean, he does his best, but, you know, and I remember like, you know, just watching him squirm. So it's not like I had that much daddy skills, but I learned a lot of daddy skills from my mom, who was raised by her dad, because her mom died when she was very young.
Okay.
She had daddy skills.
Okay. So to link that back to what Tora was saying about her son, because your dad was off chasing his dream, did you feel at some point some resentment towards him for not being there in that house with you?
Yeah. In fact, when I had my first child, I was 19, but I was still 18 when she got pregnant. So I went and I told my dad, I was like, yo, because I was proud. I was a happy dad, you know what I mean? I'm a man now, you know what I mean? And he just went off on me like, oh man, you ain't never going to do nothing. You're not going to go to college. You're never going to amount to nothing. He just went off on me, right? And I held that resentment probably the next 15 years. So he didn't meet my kids until they were grown and talking and all that other stuff.
Wow.
Because so, I was like, okay, if you don't want them, that's fine with me, because I do.
So the resentment came from how he reacted when you told him you had children, not so much because of the fact that he was absent from your household as you were growing up.
Nah, because, you know, I idolized my dad from the time I was born. You know, when I was born, it was at a time in his career where he was at the apex of his career. So I was the only child that he had that had a silver spoon in his mouth and all that other kind of stuff. You know, they were pretty well to do by the time I came around. And, you know, so that was the images that I had of him, which is like, you know, I remember like going to being in parties in my house where there was like Nancy Wilson and, you know, Sidney Poitier and Harry Belafonte. And just, I'm talking about like, you know, just these people who were like icons to me, right. You know what I mean? And I remember all that stuff being a little kid. So, you know, I had great exposure, and he called me his good luck charm, because anytime he would take me on an audition, you know, he would always get the role or get the gig or whatever. So he took me everywhere.
Let's take a short sponsor break. Now back to the current episode.
You know, when I finally decided to get back into show business, because I did a little bit when I was a little kid, but then it broke my heart and I went away from it, you know, and I did other things that I shouldn't have been doing. But when I finally did go back to it, I took a class at Howard Community College, just a theater class. And the first day of the class, it was like a tour of the theater. So she would walk us around, the instructor would walk us around the theater and say, what is this? What is this? What is this? And I knew everything. And I didn't even know how I knew it. You know, I didn't know how I knew the name of what a baton was. I just didn't know. It just, you know, and then, you know, we got to talking afterwards and I told her who my father was. And she was like, you know, I loved your father. You know what I mean? And we've got this play coming up and why don't you audition? And I auditioned, and that's how I got back into show business. I remember being at a point where I asked my dad, I was like, okay, what can I do to get back into show business? And he said, yo, just find a college with a repertory theater and just go get involved. Yeah. And that's why I was there.
I need to ask you this really quick question. I also was in show business, but I was an actress. And I did a lot when I was younger. But once I got older and I had my children, there was never going to be a question of me wanting to do that full time, because I was a full time mom. Now, my kids are older and I'm kind of an empty nester, and they throw it in my face all the time. No one stopped you from your dream. You need to go get a life. And I'm like, they don't appreciate that I felt like I sacrificed my dream to raise them right. But so I want to hear the other side of that, because I don't know any other parent. Like, you told me your dad pursued his dream and he had to sacrifice some time with y'all, and this is the out. So I can't wait to send him this interview, which you just said, but I want to know what alternative do you have when he said to you, listen, you're going to be nothing, you're not going to pursue your career. Did you look at it from, well, dad just wants the best for me, he's angry? Or did you look at it as, and he's just being mean, and that's not cool that my father said this to me? Because I heard, I want you to make it. Like, I don't want you to cut your dreams short, your life short with children and a life. I want you to, you know, live your best life. Like, I want it for my children. That's why I cut my dreams short. I didn't want them to ever grow up too fast. So,
well,
I gave my life up.
I'm his kid, so there are certain things that he instilled in me, you know, and one of them was like, you know, he made me learn this poem when I was probably about 7. Mm-hmm. Right, it's good, better, best, never let it rest till your good becomes better and your better becomes best. So that has always been like a philosophy of mine. And I was like, you know, it really doesn't matter what you think, you know, you did what you did with your kids, and I'm not going to be like you when it comes to, like, you know, not being able to spend time with my kids. I'm going to be able to spend time with my kids and succeed.
Okay.
And let me say this, because this is what immediately popped in my mind when you asked that question, Tora. Mm-hmm. I personally think that men with wives in particular have a lot more freedom when it comes to that. Because while he was off pursuing his career, his wife was home raising his children. So I think it's a little different for men and women sometimes.
I agree.
And I think that that's one of the things that saved me, because I didn't have the wife at home when I became a single parent. So I was forced into this role.
Okay. Now, this is something that I would like to ask you, Jamel. I know that you're a conscious man in terms of being aware of, you hinted at some of that already, of what's going on in the society, what kind of attacks may be on the Black community, things of that nature. Are your children conscious? And if so, how did you instill that in them?
Through osmosis, basically, just from them being in my presence, you know what I mean? And the choices and the literature that I would have them read and stuff like that, you know what I mean? So, you know, when they would come home with the books that were whitewashed, you know what I mean? We would go through it, you know what I mean? And then afterwards, I would give them something that was like, you know, Afrocentric so that they could understand, you know, I understand that it's a conspiracy and I wasn't going to let that conspiracy like consume my children. So none of my children are consumers to the point where it's like, you know, they have sneakers that cost more than the tires on their car.
Oh, wow. Absolutely.
All right. So right.
First guest who is on board with me on that, because
I smiled when I heard him say Afrocentric. I was like, ah.
And when he said conspiracy as well, because I think that I am the one who would more likely be seen as the conspiracy theorist. But of course, as you know, Jamel, many of those things that were called a conspiracy theory actually end up coming true. So.
Right. Right.
But it's good to have some support in this particular episode in that regard.
Well, I'm definitely on your side when it comes to that. I don't really consider myself a conspiracy theorist, but what I do consider myself, right, is a cultural mind. So basically, you know, I don't care what the other guy is doing. You know, if I have concern for the other guy, it's like when somebody posts something negative, right? If somebody posts something negative, Donald Trump or whatever, right? And you are tweeting about it and writing about it and, you know, saying how you hate it, you're still giving it energy. You're still giving it your time. You're still giving it your energy. You're still giving it your passion. You're still giving it you. Mm-hmm. I don't, all right? I stick to the positive. So the only thing that I'm writing about is positive stuff. You know, that negative stuff, it'll take care of itself, right? The positive stuff is the stuff that needs to be fed.
Yes.
You know, and that's what I do. That's what Seven on Demand is all about, right? It's all about feeding us positive images. The images that we see of ourselves are the reason or the condition that we're in, you know? So they understand that we are visual people and that, you know, what we see, we become the best at, you know? Just like, you know, the hieroglyphs and the drum circles and back in the year, ancient days, that's what we did. So they know that that's who we are. So what they do is they feed us these images of us treating our women bad, of us killing each other, drugs, crime, jail life. They feed us these images and instill it into the music because they know that if that's what we are around, that's what we'll become good at and that's what we'll do. So why is it that somebody else, our contemporaries, control our image? Who controls the image of Malcolm X? They do. They control the TV. Who controls the image of Martin Luther King? They do. They control the TV. So why is it that really we can't even complain if we're going to continue to let them control the images we see of ourselves? So we got to do something. We got to change that. So that's why I'm here on your show, because I respect what you guys are doing. Come out and tell the truth. Come out and talk about whatever it is that's on your mind, whatever it is to talk about. Control the narrative. No longer in this vaudeville of film where everybody with a cell phone is a director now. No longer do they have the ability to be able to control the images we see of ourselves. So now that we have a voice, we need to start talking.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Absolutely. And I know that Tora's big on that too. Nope, I'm not going to say their name. I'm not going to give them credit. And I agree with that wholeheartedly, because if you focus on negative, that controls you as well.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Choose what it is that you want to let into your consciousness and what it is that you want to focus on, because that affects the kind of life you ultimately have.
And I'm an energy person. So if I speak that name and it feels funny or gives me a feeling inside, then you're not, I'm not going to say your name. I'm not even going to retain that. So yeah, that goes across the board for me. Absolutely. And I have just, this is going to be my last parenting question, but I have to get this in because this is for definitely a man like you. You had the best of both worlds raising your children. Like there was a woman in your life at one time with you raising your children, right?
Of course.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I also have that. And I also had the single parent life. So I believe that the single parent part was easier. I'm sorry, I said it. You told me to speak my mind, but I'm saying it. I think the single parent, because that other person that doesn't view the world like you view it can taint your parenting. Do you feel that way? Or do you feel like it's better to parent together and, you know, move forward?
Okay, when I was younger, right? And I was in my prime, it was probably more advantageous, like you said, for me to do it by myself.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because now I don't have no competition.
No competition. Yep.
Right. But now being older and a little bit wiser, right?
Okay.
I see the benefits.
Okay, I'm not there yet. I'll wait then.
I see the benefits.
Okay.
All right. The benefits are you don't have to be both nurturer and disciplinarian. You don't have to be both nurturer and disciplinarian. You got bad cop, good cop going on, you know, when you have somebody with you, right? When you don't, you got to play bad cop and good cop, which sometimes can get confusing. And they have let me know that like, you know, they're like, you know, what do you love me or want to be?
They call me crazy. They were like, I can't get this. You just told me this and now you want to love me. It's like, yeah, that's how it works.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yep,
exactly.
I get it. See, that's why I knew you would understand what I was saying. But for me, it's hard because my kids go, well, you can't cuss me out because my room is dirty. And then 10 minutes later, you're like, can you go with me to the store and then tell me you love me? They don't understand. And it's like, but I don't have that other, my husband does not discipline at all. Like, at all. But if it was just me alone, they would get it, you know? So it's almost like, well, we'd rather be with dad. He's nicer. It's like, no, he's not nicer. He just doesn't care. So,
well, no. When I was with her too, I didn't discipline at all either. You know what I mean? You be a disciplinarian, I'll be the nurturer.
Do you hear this? Unbelievable.
I'm honest. I tell the truth, man. No uncertain terms.
All right, I'll give you that.
I have a different perspective because I was a married woman when I had my children, and then we stayed together for a good while, and then boom, that was done, and then they came with me. To me, it was easier when he was there because he did stuff. He would cook, he would clean, he would give them a bath, he would take them here, he would do that, and it was easier for me. Once I split, I mean, he still picked them up and took them to school and did stuff, but all of a sudden, I got to do everything all the time, and that was just a really big job for me. So it was easier when he was there, but also he was on board with me. Like I was able to be the primary parent. So he wasn't, if he did disagree, I get they were younger. He probably just said it to me. They wouldn't know, but he's not going to, no, they're not going to that school or whatever because, oh, Kim's got it. She did the research. She knows what's going on. So it depends, I think, on how in line you and your spouse are. You have different styles that can make it more difficult.
That's true. Okay. I
got a lot to learn. So, Jamel, what advice would you give? We're nearing down to our last 7 minutes. What advice would you give to other single parent dads? Because that is an increasing trend now for fathers to raise their children.
Oh, yeah.
And then by contrast to dads that are still in the home, what advice would you have for them, if any?
The same advice that I have for anyone who wants to get into any endeavor. Right. And that is to learn, read, study, question, use every scrap of intuition, knowledge, concern, heart, love, put all of that into it and leave no stone unturned. You know what I mean? Because you're talking about somebody else's life here. You know, Khalil Gibran had a poem. I can't quote the poem, but what it said was that, like, you know, our children are not our children, right?
Nope.
We are the bow from which they are shot, but where they go, that is on them. You know, our job is to be able to give them the energy to get there, yeah. right? So that's not an easy task, you know, because once the arrow leaves the bow, it's on its own. Yep. So we definitely need to like prepare as much as possible. You know, I have hats off and kudos for all those women that were in my life that showed me different parenting skills and who helped me raise my children, you know what I mean? And my children's mothers, you know what I mean? They all, had I not had all of that, man, I would have failed miserably.
Mm. Okay. So that's a piece of advice too, to rely on the, or at least to interact with and gain knowledge from the other parents that are around you, because other people can contribute to what it is you're trying to do.
So I look at the relationships of me and my children's mother. My first children's mother, we have hardly any relationship at all. The next one, we tolerate each other, but the last one, we're still good friends to this day. So it's like, okay, I was getting better each time, you know what I mean? And you know, and it shows in the relationship between me and those children.
I believe that. I truly
believe. Between you and the children as well?
Yes, between me and the children as well.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So the children from the last mom, no problems. The children from the second one, a little bit. And the children from the first one, whole lots of problems.
Including your daughter, who you said still has some resentment or issues.
Indeed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I never talked ill of my son's father, and he thinks the world of that man. I mean, you would have thought he created Earth. But I think that came from, I just never spoke ill of him. And I did hear my friends and my mom who would talk bad about my dad, and my friends would talk bad about, you know, their kid's father. And it irritated me because I'm like, well, don't taint the kid. You know, let him bring his or her own perspective.
I never heard it because I wasn't in the house with them. But I saw signs of it. Like my son would ask me, like, you know, if you're so bad, why does everybody love you?
There it is.
You know what I mean? So it would be like, I don't understand. You know what I mean? When you take me to the park or you take me anywhere, you know, everybody is like, oh man, Jamel this, Jamel that. Everybody loves you. But, you know, from what I hear at home, you know, you're just the most rotten thing on earth.
Me? I agree. I know that there are women out there do that. And that's something I'm glad we're bringing up today, because I don't like that. I know if a woman's been, you know, scorned and hurt by a man, I get it, but just leave the, if he loves the kids and he's doing right by it, just let that be. Let him have that relationship. I definitely agree with that.
Well, in the last 20 years, I've managed to go back and build a relationship with her too. So, that's, you know what I mean? All fences meant.
That's great. That is, and it's good for your kids to see that.
And of course.
It's important.
And my grandchildren.
And your grandchildren, yes.
Yeah.
So I have 5 children, but I have 11 grands.
Wow. Okay.
So that's 7 by birth and 4 by marriage.
Okay.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yes, congratulations.
And then all the love a man can stand and more than he can afford.
And an expensive Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, since we don't do Christmas, you mean Kwanzaa, but it's okay.
Kwanzaa, okay.
I get you.
Well, Tora, any last questions for Jamel as we begin?
No, he nailed everything. Everything I had on my list I wanted to ask, he nailed every last one.
And have we given you an opportunity? Is there any last parting words you'd like to say, Jamel?
Yeah, man. What do I got to do to get your show on my station? You know what I mean? That's the whole thing. We'll talk about that another time. But like, you know, we need to get this out there, man. Absolutely. You know, like I said, we have a voice now. I mean, we need to be talking.
We definitely have to. We got to bring up subjects about, you know, the new man of the future, like, you know, the Kevin guy. We got to talk about how he's polluting this. Kevin guy. Yeah, we got to.
Who's that?
We don't know. It's just some guy out there. We don't know.
Oh, because like I said, you know, I concentrate on the positive. So that negative stuff, man, I don't even know the dude's name. You know, it don't even mean anything to me.
I don't even watch the dude's show.
We don't even watch the show. We don't even have a clue.
So that's the thing that I'm talking about. Like, you know, once you say his name and once you know, now people want to find out about it. You know what I mean? So I just don't. I really
I know him as some type of guy. That's all I know. I don't know him by anything other than that. But we gotta get you guys to start, you know, counteracting, because this is getting like, you know, the new future's got to hear some positive men like you speak about really what y'all think of women these days. And it's some good things y'all think of us, right?
Yes, absolutely.
You hold the crown. We haven't lost our crowns, have we?
We call our women Earth, right? And if you recognize, yeah, no doubt. And if you recognize everything that man has and has accomplished comes from the Earth.
Wow, I like that. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's why we gotta open that platform up. They need to hear that. These new rappers, the rappers don't know we're Earth. We used to be wifey, then we went to queen, and then they tainted that. So now we Earth. I'm good. I like that.
Well, thank you, Jamel. We really appreciate you coming on. It's been a very interesting episode, and I think that
thank you.
Some nuggets that will really help some people out there, some men out there who are trying to parent and figure out how to go at it. And so we just really appreciate you for that.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate you.
All right, ladies.
Okay. See you soon.
That is so awesome.
Yeah, that was very nice. He brought a lot to the table, and I think it'll be helpful.
He even knew how to like speak. You know how I'm always like conscious of my words. I don't ever want to say anything to make someone uncomfortable, but he could see right through it. He's like, okay, I know what you're trying to say. And then, and he would just answer to it. And I'm like, thank you. Because I know what's going on up here, but I'm always trying to worry about how can I say it out of my mouth? And he nailed everything. Awesome.
That is great. I'm glad he did. We've got another great guest coming up for our next episode. I think, again, that we're on a roll, and I'm loving the direction that we're going in. That was a nice conversation. I'm glad Jamel joined us. And I guess then, if we have nothing further, we'll see everyone next week. We thank you all for watching and listening, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Good night.
Night.